The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in an episode series called His Unseen Hand, and it's based on Dr. Bob Wilkins' autobiography, which carries the same name. We're exploring some of those formative moments in his life that brought him to where he is. I think you'll find it quite the treat. Today, we're going to talk about his experience in seminary. So let's get right to today's episode with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus, another episode. I'm here with Bob.
Hello there, Sean.
How's it going, Bob?
I'm well.
We are going through, doing a little bit of theological biography, your biography. And we're about to hit the time when you go to Dallas Theological Seminary.
Right.
Even I grew up knowing what DTS was because in the Open Brethren Church that my mom went to, the pastor or one of the teaching elders, it was a group of elders.
Right.
And one of the teaching elders was a graduate from DTS.
Oh.
And so the church library was filled with DTS books. Even my mom, when she first became a Christian, she had the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I remember that being in her bookshelf and lots of books by Walford. Prophecy was really big in the 80s.
Right.
There was a lot of hoopla about, you know, is Jesus going to come back in the 80s?
Right.
And so a lot of, unfortunately, I think dispensationalists totally messed all that up.
Well, but, we shouldn't be date setting.
And, no.
So you're right. Yeah, in fact, I was at Dallas Seminary during that time period.
Right. And so, and all that to say was, even I, growing up in the French part of Canada, in those conservative evangelical churches, DTS was known. Although DTS had been open for almost 70 years by the time you entered into
it? Well, no, DTS was 1924, if I remember right,
okay.
And I went in 78. So it would have been a little over 50 years when I started. And it was interesting because, you know, talking about God's unseen hand.
Yeah.
I could have gone to DTS when I graduated from college in 1973. If I had, I would have graduated in either 76 or 77.
Yeah.
I could have graduated in 3 years, and I remember I didn't start till 78, but I was on pace to graduate in 3 years, and I ended up talking to Prof. Hendricks and asked him what he thought, and he said, slow down, get involved in intramural sports, make friends, do lots of things, absorb more.
Yeah.
So I took 4 years for my THM instead of three.
Yeah.
But theoretically, I could have graduated either 76 or 77. Well, now fast forward to I'm finishing up my doctoral program in 85,
yeah.
And I've met with all the department heads to see if there was any teaching spots open.
Yeah.
And then I went to the president, Dr. Campbell.
Yeah.
I told him, you know, I was hoping to get a teaching spot. And he said, well, Bob, as you know, you're in New Testament, and we're really full in New Testament. And he said, the funny thing is, if you had graduated during the time when we were hiring lots of new faculty in New Testament, that was between 74 and 78.
Yeah.
He said, we probably would have hired you.
Yeah.
But you've come too late.
Right. Okay, so before we get there, that's the end of your DTS career.
Right.
So you go to DTS, and I mean, what is your theology at this point?
Well, my theology was, I suppose, dispensational because I'd read Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth, and yeah. I had a basic dispensational framework. I believed in the tribulation and the rapture and the millennium.
And did you get that from Crewe, from your time at Crewe?
I did, but mainly through reading, you know, some of these books. Who did I say? Who wrote the late great Planet Earth?
Hal Lindsey.
Hal Lindsey. Did I say LaHaye or Lindsey?
No, you said, yeah, you got it right.
Yeah. And Lindsey was a DTS grad, and so, but in terms of soteriology, I was free grace, but I didn't have all the details worked out. And basically, I was kind of a piece of clay that was ready to be molded.
Were you a Calvinist? You said you were free grace, but were you more of a Calvinist at that
point?
Well,
I remember hearing when I was on staff with Crusade, one of the campus directors pushing election,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't buy it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't buy the idea that God determined who was going to be saved forever and lost, and if you happen to be in the good group, good for you. If not, bye.
Yeah.
I didn't accept that. So I would say I was somewhere between a Calvinist and Arminian. I believed in eternal security.
Yeah.
but I didn't believe in the promise of perseverance as far as I could tell. Now, I think I might have had a kind of a wishy-washy view on perseverance.
Yeah.
Because I often would explain some of these troubling passages. I think, I can't remember back there that well, but probably saying something like, well, a genuine believer wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I had some definite rough edges when I got to DTS.
Well, okay, and so before we get to DTS, I have a question then about crew. I mean, what kind of theology was taught there? They were obviously training you to do ministry.
Right.
You came out of this holiness cult, so you would have had some type of theology there. That did it conflict with what you heard at crew? I mean, it started with you thinking about you being wrong about the gospel.
Right. Crew delivered me from that holiness theology, and I remember my parents were so grateful I got away from that, and basically I was deprogrammed without a deprogrammer.
Right.
But
not that this, did they teach you dispensationalism there?
With crew?
Yeah.
Well, some people did, but, you know, back in those days, everybody in crew believed in cessationism. We didn't believe in the sign gifts for today, and you couldn't be a charismatic and be on staff with crew. That changed later, but at that point, and so we were all coming from that perspective, and we were all conservative.
Yeah.
We believed the Bible was without error, and we didn't know all the details of that, but we believed it, and as far as soteriology, crew staff were all over everywhere.
Okay.
Some would have been straight-up Calvinists. Some of them would have been what we would call free grace.
Yeah.
A lot of them would have been some kind of a mishmash. But as far as I recall, everybody with crew believed in eternal security.
All right.
I don't think you, back then, I don't think you could be on and not believe in eternal security. I think that changed over the years. But
so you enter into DTS and you kind of have a mishmash theology, I guess, kind of basic, but basically free grace and basically dispensational.
Right.
But did seminary come as a shock now? I mean, what happened?
Well, it was surprising because I'd had a few seminary-level classes with Campus Crusades Institute for Biblical Studies, and I enjoyed those. And I took first-year Greek the summer before I started, and I was surprised that I loved it. I loved it so much, I ended up majoring in Greek.
Mm.
And I loved Hebrew, too, and ended up grading Hebrew for 5 years.
Yeah.
So it surprised me that I was so attuned to these things, because I was going to school with probably one out of five of the students already had a degree from a Bible college.
Yeah.
And so those guys already knew a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, most of it was new, and I found it exciting. But the thing that I think helped me is with my biology background, I had a bachelor's degree in biology from UC Irvine, I was analytical. And so I didn't just accept what professors said as true.
Mm-hmm.
I would listen to what they were saying and evaluate it in light of Scripture, and some things I would accept and some things I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I even remember, because of some of my Campus Crusade courses, I skipped the Prolegomena course, the Introduction to Theology.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the former crew staff members came to me and said, you know, I'm beginning to have doubts about my salvation. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. He says, our prof in Prolegomena says that if you're truly saved, you'll persevere in faith and good works until you die.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not sure I'm going to persevere. So, and I said, well, you know, that's crazy. I said, when we were on crusade, we'd say fact, faith, feelings, and we'd say we walk by the facts of God's word, not by our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't look to our works. We just look to the promise that the Lord Jesus promises us everlasting life. So even in my first semester,
yeah,
I was already thinking a bit outside the box.
That's interesting, because DTS is basically a four-point Calvinist school, right?
It was then. Now it's shifted a lot, because it used to be you had to believe in eternal security to go there, and you couldn't be a charismatic. But now they accept charismatics, and you don't have to believe in eternal security either to graduate or to be accepted. So things have shifted. But in terms of the professors, yes, the professors are mostly four-point Calvinists. I mean, some of them, like Norm Geisler, taught there, and Geisler would have called himself like a two-point Calvinist or a two-and-a-half-point Calvinist or something.
So did you have to pick a major for your THM right away?
It took a while.
Okay.
But you had to do it fairly soon because all your electives were based on your major. So I decided on New Testament, I think, within the first year.
Okay. So what were some key turning points for your career in seminary?
Well, probably the big turning point was at the end of my third semester. I had just taken the third semester of Hebrew because I had taken first year Hebrew in the summer after my first year in seminary. Mm-hmm. And I had also just taken the beginning of the third year of Greek. So the two hardest courses at DTS then were the Romans course, which was the sixth course required of everyone in New Testament, and Psalms, which is the hardest course in Old Testament, the fourth course in Old Testament.
And what made it the hardest?
Both of them required...
Complexity of the language?
Well, it wasn't the complexity of the language. It was the papers required.
Okay.
There were just lots of papers required, lots of writing. And so I decided to put off the Romans course for a year.
Okay.
And I took an elective. And I remember I talked to a doctoral student in Old Testament, and I said, how would you advise me on finding a good faculty members to take courses from? And he said, I'll tell you the key. Don't go for content. Go for method. Mm. He said, you can get content and books after you graduate, but method is more caught than taught. And he said, I think you might want to consider Zane Hodges. Mm-hmm. He's very interesting. He has an interesting method. He's someone you probably should set under. And so I ended up taking Hebrews from him at the end of my second year, and that changed the whole future direction of my seminary.
So not Hebrew, but the book of Hebrews.
The book of Hebrews.
With Zane Hodges. And he wrote already written the commentary on Hebrews and the Bible Knowledge Commentary?
He was doing that, both Hebrews and 1st through 3rd John.
All right. Well, Noah, we'll continue talking about that in the next episode. Hey, if you like this program and you want to support it, you can go to faithalone.org, donate there, and you can help us keep on making these shows. And another way to support us is to give us a review on whatever app you use to listen to this program. We appreciate you guys and appreciate you, Bob, for sharing your story, and we'll continue it in the next episode.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to continue to discuss Dr. Bob Wilkins' DTS experience. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.